The subject that's on my mind today, if I had to put a title to it, would be Reasons to Praise God, Reasons to Praise and Worship God. And it's been my thoughts, gathering these thoughts. Daddy asked me yesterday, he said, well, are your thoughts are gathered together about for this message this morning? I said, well, it's sort of like raking leaves. You know, you rake a few here and you rake a few there, and hopefully by the end of it, you get a good pile. And he said, yeah, well, then the wind comes along sometimes and blows them away. And I said, well, you're right about that. But I said, hopefully the wind will separate the wheat from the chaff, and the heavier good stuff will rise, or the bad stuff will rise, and the good stuff will sink in. But I was just thinking this last week, I love a lot of the Psalms, I know we all do, and there's just so many good ones, and one of them that really stood out to me this last week was Psalm 95. And I won't read the whole thing, but I'll read some of it. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Got to thinking about praise and just sort of thinking, well, what do I understand the word praise to be? And so a lot of times when I'm confused about the meaning of a word, I go see what somebody else thinks about it. Or a lot of times I'll try to think about it first, and then I'll go calibrate that thought with people a lot smarter than me, and then I'll sort of come in to interpret that so in a way that I can sort of understand it. But generally speaking, praise is an act of worship. Praise is an acknowledgement of the virtues and deeds of another, and generally of somebody we are in awe of, somebody we appreciate. It's pointing out, it's calling attention to, it's recognizing, it's extolling somebody else's deeds, what they've done, or who they are, some characteristic about them. Now, on a normal, ordinary plane of life, we all see people like that around us. And we appreciate them, we point them out, and we're very ready to do that a lot of times. For all of those in here who like UGA football, I know some of y'all other ones like the other team we won't mention. And a couple of more other teams that I won't mention after last night. But, you know, we are very quick to point out, that joker is really good. Did you see that play? Man, you're calling attention to, you're recognizing number 7 or number 55 or what they've done, the deeds they've done. And our society today is built to a great extent on pointing out the excellent attributes of other people. Well, to a great extent, that's what we're really supposed to be doing about God. And that's really what praise is all about. It's pointing out how God is so awesome, how God has done mighty things, how God's works are far above our works. One real smart person pointed this out. He said, we praise God for who he is and for what he does. And when we say who he is, we're really talking about adoration. We're adoring. We're expressing forth this amazement and awe of who God is. And when we think about what he does, we're really just being thankful. It's just an act of thanksgiving to be able to acknowledge that we have been recipients of something awesome from a mighty hand. And so when I think about praising God for who he is. That idea of adoration. You know, it don't take me long to start digging in the Bible and thinking about it before I recognize one big key thing about all that. He ain't like us. He ain't nothing like us. And Isaiah, I would say, does one of the most, in my mind, thorough jobs of elevating, using human language, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to elevate God far above us if we really pause to think about it. So Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25, let's just hit a few highlights here. God says, if you're wondering who is God, how is he like or perhaps unlike us, Isaiah 40, 25 says, this is the Lord speaking, to whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal? Shall I be the same as you? Or something you want to compare me to? Saith the Holy One. This is what the Holy One's saying. He said, if you really want to know that question, what are you going to liken me to? Just lift up your eyes. Pause for a moment. Lift up your eyes on high and behold. Get a good look. Deep down, who hath created these things? We had a beautiful starry night the other night. And when you take a moment and you look up and there's no really distracting lights and you see that starry host of heaven, or on a clear, bright, sunshiny day, you look up, you see the clouds, you see the blue sky, you see the sunshine. All you got to do is look up and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? And speaking of the stars and probably all the illuminating bodies in the sky, he calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, and not one faileth, not one star falls. You know, you can see a shooting star, and that's amazing to me. I love seeing a shooting star. And most of the time, I'm just on the edge of seeing it, Brother Stan. And then another one will come by, and that maybe I was ready for it. But you see that power, and you see that glory, and you say, somehow or another, if that's God, and that's part of who he is, and that's part of the effects of his being, he truly ain't nothing like us. And in 42:8, I'm just going to be flipping real quick through some of these. He says, I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. He is above anything we can try to put together with our hands, anything we can try to put together with our mind. He's even higher than that. He's above that. And then in 46, verse 5, and there's a bunch of these verses. I'm just hitting a few of them. Actually, I'm going to hit 45:5 too. He says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. And he says, I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. He's there. 46:5 says, to whom will ye liken me? If we're going to try to, what is God like? Who is God? He says, to whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? He said, you can't do it. And he goes on to describe these graven images. He says, really, verse 9 says, he said, just remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. I want to hit one more in Isaiah 55, verse 8. We're just trying to establish this idea that God is way bigger, greater than we are. He's high above. In 55:8, he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We just step back and we just have to recognize that God is not like us. He's so much greater. He's so much more powerful. He's so much more awesome. So if that ain't enough to encourage us to praise, and we could use a lot of inference to go through the Bible and think about all the attributes, in other words, for all the characteristics, all the ways we could point God out. And we could infer, because of that, that we should praise Him. But I also want to point out, why we could do that, what I want to do is to specifically go with the reasons that the psalmist used and a few other folks used why we should praise God. Why should we praise God? Now, again, we could use other means to infer or deduce or this, that, and the other. But tonight, today, I just specifically want to talk about what does the psalmist say about why we should specifically praise God. Psalm 86, and I'm going to be flipping through these, but we're going to go in numerical order, so hopefully it'll be a little bit easier. Think about what he says in Psalm 86, verse 9. And, oh, by the way, so you have this, when we think about praise, you kind of think about it in under a tiered system. Because ultimately we have this concept of worshiping God. And worshiping God, to a great extent, worship is you're bowing down, literally, that's kind of what the word means. And like the old Orientals of old, they would go and they would place their gift at the king or the priest's feet, and they would bow their heads and touch the ground in an act of obeisance to humble themselves in the sight of such a lofty figure. And that's, in a sense, what we're doing when we worship God in our hearts and in our minds. We're laying ourselves down and acknowledging His greatness. We're bringing what we'll later see as sacrifices of praise to Him. So when we think about worship, we're talking about this whole idea of humbling ourselves before God, of acknowledging Him, of showing Him reverence, showing Him awe, pointing Him out. And this oftentimes is expressed through words like praise or through words like glorify, because glorify is a way to praise. So all of these words are sort of synonymous and yet somewhat distinct, if that makes any sense. So verse 9 of 86 says, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. Now, why are they going to do this? And here's the three-letter magical word that we're going to be focusing on today. F-O-R. Now, even I can spell that and read it. For. And what that word means is because. This is the reason why. This is the reason why we should praise or glorify or worship the Lord. And we're going to be looking at a number of these. But this is one of the reasons. He says in verse 10, why? Because thou, or for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Because God is just great, we should worship Him. Because He is above us, we should worship Him. In verse 12, he says, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify thy name forevermore. So I'm going to have this predisposition of heart and try to get into this mind of engaging of worship towards God. Now let's look at some more reasons why. We looked at in Psalm 95, two verses, one was verse 3 and one was verse 7 of this idea of praising or singing. And that's what a lot of times praise can mean. Praise is, it's like when something bubbles up inside and you just got to let it out. You got to let it out. You got to just let it bust up wide open, Brother Stan. And it's like when you shake up that 2-liter bottle or 1-liter or that 20-ounce Coke, and you know you should wait but you just want to go ahead and drink it, you know that's got to go somewhere. That pressure's got to go somewhere. And that's the way praise is a lot of time. It's a bubbling forth. It's a speaking out loud what you can't contain, because you know in the bottom of your heart that you're recognizing something that is awesome, something that is marvelous, something that just calls forth some desire to express. And I'm just thinking about this, so I'm going to pause and take one diversion, but we'll come right back to this. You know, everybody has this desire to praise something. Yeah. We see something that is above us, or it puts us in awe. And we, just like I was talking about with sports related activities, or with if you love cooking, you know, you see something and you just say, that is so cool. Or if you love technology, you think, how did they do it? You know, you just get all tingly because it calls something forth. I don't know if you're into statistics or mathematics and you revel in some sort of equation that you finally understood, and you figure out how does M plus whatever B equals this. And you finally figure it out and you think, how did they think of that? That is so cool. That's awesome. That's neat. Or when you can balance out some account or something or another, and it just thinks, how cool is that? It all worked out. And that's sort of the way it is with a lot of this praise a lot of times, and that we as human beings want to express that. But, you know, it's sad to say that a lot of folks don't have the right avenue to express it. They misplace where that praise goes to. You know, for example, I would say nature worship is just as much a part of us today as it ever has been. If you think about the story of evolution, the doctrine of evolution, the theory of evolution, for example, most of my friends, I would say, or acquaintances, when we look at the mountains together, their expression is, how awesome to think that this just happened. And here's me that says, how awesome to think that it did happen by the hand of God. Right. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has this welling up to want to give credit, to want to say that is cool, that is awesome, that is above us. Yeah. But where we mistake, and where our error, and where a lot of the error of humanity has been, is that we place that on the wrong things called idols. We place them on idols of our hearts. False gods, things that do not really deserve the credit. And so when we're talking about praise, it's giving credit to whom credit is really due. Right. Acknowledging that true source. And I was originally talking about this idea of praise really being something that just bubbles up from inside when we really get a hold of it a lot of times. And that was an example of this, is Zacharias in Luke chapter 1, and I'm just going to read this real quick. So you know the story that when the angel appeared and said, you know, you're going to have a son, Zacharias, and he didn't believe. Well, the angel, through the Lord's commands and authority, smote his mouth so that he was dumb for just about the entire pregnancy. Now, there's times when I don't want to talk. That's true. I'm a little bit of an introvert at times, but I'm an extroverted introvert, if that makes any sense, or back and forth. But there's times I don't want to talk. But the idea of not being able to talk for about 9-8 months, and I'm reduced to just writing messages, and when the baby was born, he had to write, his name is John. And as soon as he did that, in verse 64, his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. I mean, I bet he couldn't shut up. They probably couldn't get him to shut up. I can talk again, and I can believe the power of God who can take a man who can talk just like that to somebody who can't talk, and then suddenly he can talk again. You know, if you experience that, I mean, think about the internal agony of old Zacharias. Probably he, in his mind, was verbalizing what he wanted to say, but something had happened. He might have been able to mouth the words. His mouth might have been almost shut. Whatever it was, he couldn't talk. And that's a miracle, by the way. That's something that's above us. And it points to, I mean, once he saw the entire picture of this, he couldn't help but praising God. And that's sort of where we're talking about. There is an emotional aspect of praising God. There is also, and since I'm already here, I am going to go back to the reasons, but I'm just going to talk about this. So there's emotional praise, where we're in that moment and we're engaged because our emotions are in it. But there's also a mental engagement. There's an idea of the will being involved so that we would intentionally, whether our emotions are in it or not, would come out and do something like sing praises to the Lord. Go be around other people that maybe I don't want to be around today. Go sit on a pew and listen to somebody carry on for an hour or 45 minutes or whatever. Intentionally going out of our way to do something just because we know it's right. And of course, you know, a lot of times the emotions, the good feelings will follow that. And we'll get a blessing out of it. So sometimes it's not our emotions that are driving the praise, but sometimes it's our will to do that which is right drives the emotions. But it can be vice versa. But it's about being prepared to be disposed to be either way. So Hebrews 13, 5 or 15, you don't have to turn there, but he says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So this is something that our mind actively engages in and our emotions can actively engage in. But either way, we're supposed to be engaged in it. I mean, that's what it's all about. And I'll come back probably and chase that a little bit more to some extent. But the main thing is that there are real, legitimate reasons, whether it's being our mind being engaged in it or our emotions leading that engagement. Either way, we've got to be engaged. And that's a critical part about praise and worship. If you're out in La La Land, you will not be engaged in praise and worship most of the time. If you're so caught up with the Georgia Bulldogs and whether or not they're going to win the national championship and you can't eat and you can't sleep, or if any other thing is causing you not to be able to eat and sleep and you're going on and on like that, you ain't going to be praising God. Not the way he's encouraging us to praise him, not the way we're meant to praise him. But there are real reasons at the core root of life that we should be praising God. We should be worshiping him. And part of it we just saw is that he ain't like us. He's so far greater, so much bigger than we are. So we know that he is a great God. Another one, if we turn to Psalm 106, Psalm 106 says the other one, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. Now, if you can't praise God because of that, then maybe we should do a timeout and take five to consider why we can't praise God for his mercy enduring forever. I mean, think about that. I love this verse over in Psalm 103. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Now, this is the thing that blows my mind. Because he's so merciful and full of grace, he says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to iniquities. Psalm 130 says, if he should mark iniquities, if he should start going through with a red pen and looking at our lives, if he should start doing that with anybody, who could stand? It's just like all them jokers that wanted to stone that lady in John chapter 8. They wanted to stone her, and then Christ stood up and he said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And the rocks began to drop, and they all walked out one by one. Their conscience smote them. The attribute of God is that he's merciful. His action is also that he shows mercy and he doesn't hold it against our sins against us. He is good. He is faithful. He is merciful. And to us, that should fill us with a reason to praise. Every day. Every day, that's a reason to praise God, because every day we're messing up again. And the fact that old Jeremiah in Lamentations said, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. That's a reason to praise him all day long. And, you know, a lot of times we recognize reasons to pray. In praise in 107, he says, if we really stop to consider, and Psalm 107 is that stop to consider and reflect psalm. He says, if you'll just take five and really think about what God has done for you in your life, then this is the exclamation that we're all going to make in verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And that was so good of a statement, he said it four times in that psalm. Oh, that men would praise him. Oh, that men would praise him. You know, it just don't take us long to start looking. And this is not an exhaustive list, by the way. I'm just going through and hitting some of the highlights. If you go to Psalm 147 says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good. It's just a good thing to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. And then he goes on to tell us more reasons about how God is good. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. You know, when we really think about just how awesome God is, when we really stop to consider, we should be ready to praise. And if we know that, then we're going to be more predisposed to doing that. Psalm 148 echoes a lot of those same verses, those same thoughts. Verse 5 says, let them praise, talking about, well, you know, let's just pick up verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. That is such beautiful poetic language. But what he's saying is that, kind of like what he said, if Christ was saying, if these folks are quiet, even the rocks would call out praises to my name. Because all of these wonderful works of God are testimonies in the sky of how great he is, how awesome he is, and that in and of itself is praise to him. It's testimony to his awesomeness, just how he surpasses us in every way. And then he says, praise him, ye heaven of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. Why? Why do that? For he commanded, and they were created. That's all he did. He just spoke, and there they were. I would have loved to have been there on that day when the stars and the suns shouted for joy. They shouted for joy in the testimony of how great it was that God could just speak them into existence. That's praiseworthy, my friends. It's not praiseworthy just now. It's praiseworthy every day of our lives. Every day. So this praise, we could go on and talk a lot more about various attributes of who God is. We could talk about his love, we could talk about his mercy, we could talk about his sovereignty, we could talk about his providence, we could talk about many, many things. His faithfulness, his truth, his compassion. So many things to think about that we could praise the Lord. One, I want to tell you, I said that praise is part of worship. And I want to give a couple more reasons why that we read earlier in Psalm 95. When the psalmist says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Now, that's an act of worship and praise. Why should we do that? He gives us the answer in verse 7. And it's real complicated, Brother Stan. For he is our God. It's as simple as that. He is our God. What more reason do you need when you've got this kind of God? We should just be ready to worship Him. That's as simple as that. And our hearts, if we look down deep enough in here, we can see that. We recognize that we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. And that's why it says, today, if you'll hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart to praising God. Now I'll pause here for a minute and say this. You know, a lot of times we don't want to be accused of being charismatic. And we want to hold a lot of that in. And we don't also, in society, we don't want to be perceived as someone who is Mr. Holy, Holy, holier than thou art, you know, a religious fanatic or all of that. Look, I understand a lot of that. And there's a real place for being orderly and conductive, you know, and not getting out of control. But there is nothing wrong with letting her fly, Brother Jerry, if the Lord is speaking to our heart, to just let it out. You don't have to do it, but if your heart and mind is telling you to let her fly, there ain't nothing wrong with saying amen out loud, of just saying hallelujah. Of course, we get into the mind games and we think, well, if I say it this time, then I don't say it next time, what are people going to think about me? You don't have to think about that. It's not about the quantity of times. It's just a matter about being willing and ready to let her fly and let those words of praise come out in church, in public worship, or in any other area or sphere of life. Let us worship Him. He is our God. And that's the thing I want you to see this in Psalm 100 verse 3. Just let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let's serve Him with gladness, with praise. Let's come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is our God. It is He that hath made us. You know, the reason for praising Him is because He's our God, but it's because, here's the deal, that's what we were created for. That's what it's all about. I think it's Isaiah 43. Let me just flip over there real quick. That's, you know, when we wonder sometimes, what is our purpose? I just don't know what my purpose in life is. I'm having a hard time discovering that. Well, the Lord says, this is your purpose in life. Because I'm your God. You are my people. I'm the shepherd. You are the sheep. Let this sink in deep in Isaiah 43:21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. What are you here for? It's nothing real complex. It's just to be able to praise God, because that's the natural thing to do. That's the functioning thing to do. You know, in biology, they talk a lot about form following function. And, of course, that's a word they use a lot of times to describe some sort of evolutionary progression. But a lot of it's just good observation. It's just that the form, and then there's a function. And if you try to function in some other capacity, you're going to die and perish and fall prey to survival of the fittest. But in a lot of ways, that's just true about our life. If we are formed to praise God, if we don't do that and we try to function in some other capacity, we're going to be sitting on the sidelines, lowering a snake in a wagon rut, depressed because we can't find out that thing is that we're supposed to be doing that fills us with some sort of satisfaction, when really the answer was here all along, and I was just to praise God. To praise God. It's that simple. And yet, how many times we kick against the pricks, we try to find that in something else, and in reality, it's just staring us right in the face. It's what we're here for. It's what we're created for. And if you don't believe me on that aspect, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 real quick. Ephesians 1 verse 12 says, And I'll put this in 11 to get the context. Whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory. That's it. That we should be to the praise of his glory. That's what it's all about. That's what we're here for. That's what we're designed for. And that's what he is worthy of. That's what he's worthy of. Now I want to try to help us just real quick put this into some more of a practical aspect of life. Because sometimes we can hear sermons like this on the pew and we think, I have no idea what this really means when it comes to regular life. I mean, I can sort of feel that when I'm here on the pew, but what does that mean in regular life? I can't promise that my attempt will help you, but maybe it will provide a way for you to think about this on your own. Now, here is some of my thoughts on this. Number one, and these are things that I personally have, I feel like, been able to experience and benefit from. And so, take them or leave them. Sister Charlotte, if you don't want to implement them, there's nothing wrong. My feeling ain't going to be hurt. But I do think these are really important concepts. And that's number one, is what I was saying earlier. Let's just take five. Not the candy bar. You can eat a candy bar when you take five. But take a moment. Pause. The psalmist says, Selah. Take a moment, pause, and consider. And that's what it's all about. It's being ready to stop, take a timeout moment, and mentally engage with what you're actually seeing or experiencing. So, for example, one of the ones that recently happened to me was just simply seeing the sunshine glimmering off the leaves of these oak trees. And the light was just beautiful. And I saw it and I said, that is beautiful. But then I said, and that's God's handiwork. And so that's the key, is you associate the feeling with, that's beautiful, but don't rob yourself or God of the opportunity to just take it to the next flip and attribute it to him. Yeah. And in that moment, there is the association of, that is praise. Yeah. I'm not even trying to do it. That feeling is praise, yeah. And I'm just attributing it to God. So it's taking a moment to just sometimes think about what we're seeing and appreciate them. So I was thinking of that sunshine on the leaves. I was thinking about the sounds of the birds, not the birds and the bees and the cigarette trees, Brother Stan, but if they would have been there, I'd appreciated them too. But the birds and how they chirp. I saw a bald eagle the other day, first time in South Georgia. I've seen other people said they spotted them before. But I saw one. I was trying to get some video footage of it, but I just didn't have enough time, and it saw me and it flew away. But I love the scream of those birds of those of prey, you know, those the hawks and the eagles and those the majestic birds. If you see one, just take five seconds, 5 minutes, whatever, and reflect how awesome that is, and then acknowledge the Creator and take a moment to appreciate him. You know, the change of the seasons. I love fall. Hope somebody's going to go up there and get some of them apples. Maybe it'll be me. Reveling in that moment, that joy that you see of the changing of the seasons. We could stop right there and say, I love the changing of the seasons. If you never go on to the next point, you've just robbed yourself and God of an opportunity to praise and to receive praise. So it's just a matter of identifying that thing that makes us happy and joyful when really that is coming from the Lord and we just acknowledge it to him. Yeah. And that's praise. Yeah. That is real praise when we recognize who's given it to us, what he's done. So the rising of the sun. some of those beautiful sunsets. Take five. Attribute. You know, the vast expanse of mountains. When you're hiking, when you're climbing, when you're in Yosemite. If you're in Yosemite and you can't take five to appreciate. And most of us here are already predisposed to that way. But it's reminding ourselves on a regular basis to be programmed to think more about this is praise. This is getting me closer to God. In your Bible reading is when you're reflecting on those attributes of God, His creative power, His mercy, all of those things, and you just acknowledge, thank you, Lord, for doing that, for being that way. So, you know, it's more about His works in general and His creation, but it's also things that He's done for us. And you're thinking about those on a regular basis, and you're being willing to regularly engage your mind to think about what He's done for us. That's a big part of praise and worship. You know, we just think about, I've been given life. Well, that's something I can be thankful for. We said earlier that part of praise, when we recognize what He's done for us, is thanksgiving. And you just start thinking about, and this is a good time of year for us a lot of times, to try to be more thankful, to try to think of reasons to be thankful. I was thinking of some, for me, is God's mercy is being new every morning. I'm blessed to have a loving family. Praise God for it. I have energy for the most part, not as much as I used to, but I'm still fairly strong. I've got good health most of the time. I can still enjoy watching a ball game. Be thankful for it. I can still enjoy a good defensive tackle. Be thankful for it. I can still enjoy going sitting out in the woods, Brother Bill. Be thankful for it. I can still enjoy that savory meat that Jeremy and Brother Bill combined do so wonderfully this time of year. I can still do that. And I should just praise the Lord for it. That's just praise. It's just praise. You know, we hear the sound of the little running feet of children in the house. And of course, when we're seeing that old dirty house and the children running around, the diapers are dirty and all that, you think, well, I can't be thankful for that. Be thankful because a lot of times, as Brother Fulmer says a lot of times, these are the good old days. This is real life and I'm in a part of it because God says I should be able to be thankful. Just in these blessings of being able to be a part of these things. You know, and then on hopefully a more regular basis, we're thinking of the forgiveness of sins. We're thinking of just how merciful and how good He's been to us. Of the healings and the deliverances in prayers, the answers to prayers. And we just pause and we take five and we just think about it. Now, a real practical way I would say to implement this is social media. Some of y'all may not be on social media. But, hey, if you're feeling praise and worthy and it's a beautiful thing, post it. There's nothing wrong with that. If my evolutionary friends can go in there and post and say, thank God, or thank Mother Nature for this experience, well, why can't I say, thank God for His wonderful handiwork? Again, we've got to be careful because we'll get locked into that mindset of, oh, I've got to post so many photos of this with this caption on it, and then that way people will think that I really am a Christian or not, and that I've got to get these equaled out. Throw all that in the trash. If the Lord's moving it on your heart to be glad in it, be willing to post it. Otherwise, you ain't got to do it. It's just a matter of being ready to do it if it falls on your heart and on your mind to do it. And don't rob yourself of an opportunity to express to others, God's awesome. And listen to what He's done for me. You know, in conversation, here's another easy way to do it. You know, again, we get trapped. Well, I don't want to be the holy roller and the religious. I'm always talking about, and people are uncomfortable around me because I'm always talking religious conversation. It ain't got to be that way. But if the natural praise of your heart is coming out, it's going to bleed through in conversation. And if you're robbing yourself, and if you were just in a conversation the other day and you say, hey, I went and hiked in the mountains of Spain, which I hope me and Christopher are going to do next week. I hiked in the mountains of Spain and it was just so beautiful. And I tell you, I just couldn't help but feeling close to God in that moment. There's absolutely nothing wrong with saying that. And it's a real statement. And I would say it to anybody. You ain't got to go and say, now do you feel the same way when you have that? You ain't got. Do you go to church on a regular basis after that? You ain't got to get into all that. You might. But the point is implementing these things in regular life. and just make them a natural part of our conversation, and just trying to be more open about praise in general. And if we're spending all this time going to church anyways, why not just let it bleed on out in everyday life? I think that's what it's all is saying. Public worship is obviously a part of that. It's singing, it's making melody, it's going down the road listening to good music. Hey, listen, if it's a good old Tim McGraw or Alan Jackson, I may be able to rejoice in that song. I may not. But my point is, we can go down the road listening to a sermon. There's all kinds of ways to implement in this our regular life. And I'm just trying to provoke your thoughts on how some of these things might just happen so that they're natural and yet implemented with intention, if that makes any sense. We have the natural capacity to be that way, but sometimes we just sort of got to get in gear to say, I'm going to be that way. And I'm going to try to make these things programmed parts of where I'm at. Brother Stan, I had a couple of more things that I really wanted to get to, but I've already kept y'all long enough. But here's the deal. Praise is good and it's comely. You, me, us is what we're created for. And God is worthy of it. In Revelations, there's all these verses. I think in at least six different chapters, maybe five. I was just looking there the other day. Of this great multitude of people around the throne saying, Alleluia, Alleluia, praise, honor, glory to God. And you know, that's just a natural response from the new man. The question for us is, are you going to engage it? Are we willing to let it out? I think he's worthy of it. God help us to do that.